Clayton. John Clayton.
Hey, Mom! I'm done with my segment!
This is the Coors Light Cold Hard Facts with John Clayton.
Brought to you by Coors Light. Made to chill.
Time to talk some football with the professor, John Clayton, as we do every day at this time. If you guys have questions for John, text those questions in 421-3776. 421-ESPN. You can hear Robert Turbin singing to the music right there. Robert Turbin.
We were talking about Chris Berman earlier, man. This reminds me every time.
Turbo's in for Dave Wyman today and tomorrow. John Clayton here with us. Hello, John.
Hello, guys.
Say hello to Robert Turbin.
Hello, Robert.
Hey, John.
Hey, by the way, what have you studied college football a lot this year?
Not too much. What's going on?
And this affects Rashad Penny and all the running backs and all that stuff. But supposedly, talking to general managers in the last couple of days, this might be one of the better running backs. I mean, running backs right now are the best class and the best position in this year's draft. And, you know, with only like about 7 or 8 unrestricted free agents running backs, what that does mean is that it's going to pull down the value of what anybody gets. And running backs, as you know, don't get paid a lot anyways, particularly free agent running backs, unless it's a re-sign. So it's like it's going to be interesting to see, because what one GM told me yesterday, that you can get a good running back in the 5th round.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's crazy that you say that, because I was actually going to ask you about the Seahawks and their running back position. Obviously, Rashad Penny's a free agent. There are a couple good free agents out there. I spoke about Melvin Gordon being available. James Conner. I think Marlon Mack still has some value, and he's a free agent. So how do you see the Seahawks really addressing the running back position?
I think they try to re-sign Rashad Penny, because you can probably get him for $5 million, maybe a little bit less than that. Because I don't know what his market's going to be, but the market for all running backs is going to drop down because of this running back class. Because, you know, let's say, for example, you don't have to invest a second round pick to get a good running back. I mean, you can wait to the 3rd, 4th, 5th round and get a good running back. So it's like, and I think that gives them more of a chance to get Penny back.
John, reading that the Seahawks have started speaking with Quandre Diggs on a new contract. So does that give you hope that we're not going to be looking at any sort of franchise tag? They'll get something worked out. I do love that they're being aggressive just in getting the conversation going.
Yeah, I mean, but again, you know, franchise tag, you have to do something by, you know, the 8th of March. And if not, then there's no franchise tag. So it gives them 1 week to work something out. If not, I think they have to put the franchise tag on. And my guess is, because of the injury, I mean, and the fact that, you know, he's really never been paid great, is that the franchise tag's 12.9. I think they can get him for around 13 or 13.2 a year on a multi-year deal. So they got to do something, because I think he's too good of a player to let go.
Do you think there's a lot of competition for him? Like, have you heard much about other teams that are wanting to bring him in for a conversation?
Have not heard. I mean, because, again, it's like safety is also a good position in free agency this year. And so there's, you know, there's a lot of options that are there. And so and of course, the fact that he's injured is going to be one, I think, is going to, you know, hold things up a little bit with other teams.
Staying on the defensive side of the ball, John, the defensive line, you know, wasn't as productive as everybody expected. You know, how do you see the Seahawks addressing that area, and who do you see them targeting in free agency?
Who? I don't know. But again, I think that, you know, they'll be selective in what they do, because, again, their priorities, I think, you know, offensive line and cornerback, and then seeing what they're going to do with Bobby Wagner and all that stuff. And again, if the right guy is there at the right price, then I think they'll do something. You know, because, again, it's like, it's not like they're going to go pay $18 million bucks for Chandler Jones or something like that. That's not the nature of what this team does. You know, they try to find a good price to pay a defensive end, a pass rusher, and then try to stick with that.
Could you see them letting go of Kerry Hyder? I know he's under contract, but man, that was a disappointment.
Yeah, but why? Why let him go?
Well, because maybe you bring in somebody who's more productive.
Well, why? I mean,
because you want somebody who produces more.
I mean, it's like, let's not, I mean, don't lower the talent level. He's talented. He didn't have a great year last year. He's had two real good years with good sack numbers. And so it's like, you know, why wipe people out?
Well, don't you feel like there's, I mean, you spoke about, you know, not paying a guy like Chandler Jones $18 million a year, right?
Yeah.
But the sack production wasn't there this past season. So don't you think they would, you know, want to maybe pay, maybe not top dollar, but good dollar to get a consistent defensive player who can get after the quarterback?
Go back to the Jadeveon Clowney negotiations. You know, obviously, you know, he wanted like $20 million plus, and they started out offering 13. They eventually went to 16. But John Snyder isn't a big believer in paying big dollars to a pass rushing defensive end. I mean, hey, if they want to, they can still get Jadeveon Clowney if they want. And I mean, he's a free agent. You know, that's a possibility. But I think in the end, it's not like they're going to pay the big dollars. And remember, I mean, they've got $38 million of cap room, and they got a lot of business to do.
John, the 360 asking, are the Hawks going to surprise us and go all in this year buying some O-line and D-line talent?
That and drafting, yeah. I think, they again, it's like, but I don't know what all in means. I mean,
maybe not bargain shopping, I guess. I don't know.
No, I mean, you know, they traded, you know, and paid $7.5 million for a guard. I mean, they paid good money for Brandon Schell. I mean, you know, so it's like, you know, I think they'll be, you know, precious in what they look at, but they're not going to overdo it because they got to get three starters maybe.
Well, speaking of the offensive line in the draft, you mentioned the draft having a strong running back class.
Yeah.
What does the offensive line market look like in the draft in comparison to free agency?
Good for tackles. Pretty good for tackles. Good. So it's like you can get, you know, several in the first round, several in the second round. And that, I think, has a good chance, you know, to be the Seahawks' first pick, mm-hmm. you know, because they got a pretty decent choice in that second round. And so I think you can maybe get a good tackle out of that. You know, I don't know if it's going to be a left tackle, right tackle, or whatever. But I can see that happening. And then, of course, knowing you have two coaches who came from the Rams have, you know, three free agent offensive linemen, and they can probably go for one of those guys.
Hey, I saw the headline that Eric Bieniemy is going to be returning to the Chiefs as their offensive coordinator. Was there some doubt about that? Because he wasn't getting the interviews for a head coaching job. So
no.
It seemed an odd headline. I didn't realize they thought there was a chance he wasn't coming back.
No, it was a big question mark for several weeks, you know, not knowing if he was going to get a deal. He got a one-year deal. You know, I mean, you know, Andy, it continues to push him for a head coaching job, but it just hasn't happened yet.
Got a text here from the 253. Says, what does the professor think about Collins? I think he's talking about Colin Coward. Latest on the Eagles trading four first rounders and Darius Slay for Hard. Probably a bad take, huh?
Yeah, Colin, just shut up. I mean, it's like, I mean, he continues to push the Russell Wilson trade, and there's no Russell. I mean, are you going to trade, you know, a quarterback who's worth five additional wins to your team and then have a $31 million dead cap hit and no quarterback?
Right.
I mean, give me a break.
Right.
Hey, John, one thing Turbin and I were talking about during the break is there's all this, you know, potential quarterback movement, whether you're talking about the Colts getting rid of Wentz or maybe the Vikings get rid of Kirk Cousins or Garoppolo moves. And you're looking at that going, okay, you want to move on from Carson Wentz. Well, then are you going to bring Kirk Cousins over? It feels like you're kind of getting the same level of quarterback and it's just musical chairs. You're not really, it doesn't feel like there's a huge upgrade to be had unless you could land Aaron Rodgers, unless you could land Russell Wilson. Outside of that, it feels like you're kind of like, who's going to occupy all these spots if these guys move?
I think it's going to be less active at the quarterback position than people think. I mean, certainly, you know, that Marcus Mariota is going to move someplace, and we'll see about Jameis Winston. You know, it seems like the Colts are ready to move on from Carson Wentz. You know, there's now talk in San Francisco that, you know, Trey Lance hasn't done all that well and picking up the offense, and they may have to stay with Jimmy Garoppolo. So he may not necessarily be on the trade market. I mean, you got Sam Darnold, who, you know, they want to get rid of him, I think. And then, of course, you've got Deshaun Watson, who, you know, wants to get traded and should get traded, but it may be tough to find that right team. So I don't think it's going to be as active as it was last year.
What about Aaron Rodgers specifically? Do you foresee him going back to the Packers next season?
Well, I mean, I've been back and forth on this. At first, I said, no, he was going to get out of there. Then the last 2 weeks, I've been saying, nah, he's going to stay. And now we find out a couple things today. One, that he wants $50 million a year.
Oh, wow.
Well, guess what? He's not going to get that. I mean, they haven't done anything with Devontae Adams yet, and he wants Devontae Adams back. And apparently there's a little bit of friction again with the general manager. So it's up in the air, but it has to be resolved sometime, you know, before March 8th, because, you know, if Adams isn't back and they don't get something done with Rodgers, he's going to want to get out.
What kind of a cap hit is in terms of dead cap money if they said, all right, we can't come to an agreement, he wants to play elsewhere, and they trade him? What kind of a dead cap is he leaving?
I'd have to look at it. I don't have it in front of me right now. I mean, probably over 20-plus million, 25.
He wants $50 million.
A year, yeah.
Man, that's crazy.
Well, because, again, it's like Patrick Mahomes' contract, you know, even though it's not that, and because, again, when he signed it, his new money, which, of course, that's, you know, the difference between what he was making and then new money, was 39.3. But basically the way the 10-year deal was structured, it was going to be, you know, $40 million in the first 5 years, $40 million a year, and then $50 in the last 5 years. That's why, you know, Aaron wants that $50 million payday.
Well, but Pat Mahomes is like 24 years old, too.
So. Yeah.
Going back to the Seattle and getting back into the backfield, have you heard anything in regards to Chris Carson and his health? Is he improving? What's going on there?
No idea, because remember, I mean, you know, players aren't available to meet with the team or, you know, go see the team doctor or anything like that. So we have no update on that whatsoever.
John, the 425 asking, what does the professor think about the Hawks pursuing Mariota or Minshew as the backup to Russell?
You know, Mariota might not be bad, and I don't think they're going to trade for Minshew. It's like, I mean, he'd be nice to have on your team, but again, it's like, I think that, you know, he'll probably go somewhere in a trade, and, you know, it's probably going to be, you know, for a little bit higher than what they want to get.
Do you think either of those two have an opportunity to start anywhere, or are they pretty much backups at this point?
Minshew, I think, has a chance. And Mariota does have an outside chance because, you know, at least, you know, he's got a good running game. I mean, he can run well. He's talented enough. He was, you know, a high draft choice, all those different things. So he might land something, but I wouldn't guarantee it. I think of the two, Minshew has a better chance.
How do you feel about, you know, obviously – D. Eskridge had an injury-plagued season this year, but, you know, do you feel like he can still take a pretty decent jump from year one to year two, and do you still feel like he'll be an intricate part of this offense going into next season?
I think he can make a pretty good jump this year, you know, because he's talented, he's fast, he can do a lot of different things. It's just a matter that, you know, he missed so much time, you know, with that concussion and all that stuff that it really held him back during his rookie year. And so it's like, no, I think that, you know, he can be a valuable third receiver.
John, what do you think of we don't often talk about broadcasters, but now we're seeing the story about Troy Aikman potentially landing with ESPN for $17.5 million a year for their Monday Night Football broadcast.
Yeah.
You like that move?
I do. I know Paul Moyer doesn't.
Doesn't like it. He doesn't like Aikman?
No, he doesn't like Aikman at all.
Why is that?
I have no idea. He just doesn't like him.
What's your feeling on Aikman?
I like him. I like him a lot. And so it's like, you know, Romo makes 18, and if you pay, you know, Aikman 17.5, I have no problem with that. He's going to be on the Monday night broadcast. We'll see what shakeup goes, who's going to be in and who's going to be out, you know, because, again, that's a big contract. But, of course, I mean, the one thing with ESPN, having worked there for 22 years, is that, you know, they're probably going to take the games on Monday night, you know, share them a little bit with ABC, and so try to get better, you know, circulation as far as, you know, who's seeing the games and all that stuff. But I like them.
You know, the Cincinnati Bengals really surprised everybody this season, you know, not only making the playoffs, but for going to the Super Bowl. But I did see an interesting stat. He got sacked more times in his rookie year than Andrew Luck did. And, you know, over and then, you know, if you add that up over the course of 3 or 4 years, it's certainly going to surprise. I mean, the number is really close. Really, it passes Andrew Luck. And we saw, you know, Andrew Luck obviously retire early. They don't want that happening in Cincinnati. How do you foresee them addressing this offensive line, and can they afford to in free agency?
Yeah, technically, I mean, he was sacked 51 times during the regular season and 20 times in the 4 playoff games.
Oh,
that's
geez.
Over 70 sacks.
Wow.
And so it's like they got to concentrate both on free agency to get better offensive linemen and then also the draft to get better offensive linemen.
Do they have the cap space?
Yeah, they do. Yeah.
Okay.
Man. Well, in the one game, was it the Titans? Nine sacks. And that's coming off a year where he blew his knee out.
Yeah, 7 in the Super Bowl.
Jeez, that's unbelievable.
So, I mean, listen, they got Ja'Marr Chase in the draft, right?
And it worked.
It was a great pick. You know, I was arguing that they should have got the kid out of Oregon.
Yeah, Penny Sewell.
Oh, yeah.
Penny Sewell. Right? Yeah. And maybe, you know, maybe those stats would have been different this year had they did that. But then, obviously, you know, it's yin and yang.
Yeah.
253 asking if Landry is cut, should Seattle go after him? I assume they're talking Jarvis Landry.
Oh, he's not going to get cut. I mean, he's a Pro Bowl caliber wide receiver. I don't know, you know, if they're going to trade him or what's the story, but something's fishy there because, you know, they don't have Odell Beckham Jr. If you get rid of Landry, who's going to be there to catch the ball for, Baker Mayfield?
I don't know, but there seems to be a story about where he wants to, what he wants to do. So, do you think does he want a new deal, or what do you know of the situation there?
Don't know. I mean, it's kind of a mystery, kind of like the Kyler Murray situation. You know, with Kyler Murray pulling all his stuff off of social media and all that.
Similar situation at the wide receiver position in Dallas.
Yeah,
I mean they're over the cap. They're thinking about cutting their top guy. I can't think of his name right now.
Amari Cooper.
Yeah. How do you feel like that situation is going to play itself out?
Well, Jerry doesn't seem to be real happy with Amari Cooper, you know, because one, he's not vaccinated, and two, you know, he kind of got on the down list for Jerry Jones. So it sounds like with him making, you know, $20+ million that they probably are going to move on. You know, they got CeeDee Lamb, who is a great receiver. Now they've got, you know, one guy coming back from an ACL, so that's going to take a little bit of time. But I think right now, you're looking at a wide receiver is probably going to get cut or traded.
Well, I was also seeing that Julio Jones could be a cap casualty, or he could be moving on. And then I saw this about, you know, his former team, the Falcons. Matt Ryan is currently scheduled to have a cap hit of $48,662,500 this coming season.
Mm-hmm.
And that'd be the largest cap hit for any player in NFL history.
It was funny because I know last year a lot of people were looking and saying, hey, so is Matt Ryan going to be there? But when they restructured his contract, and I made a couple calls down there, I mean, that meant he was going to have to stay with the team at least 2 years. And this is the second year, and he may have to stay for a third year. So it's like, no, he wasn't going anywhere. He isn't going anywhere, and he's still, you know, valuable enough. They just got to get a better defense.
Speaking of defense, Seahawks made a lot of moves with their defensive coaching staff, and we heard Coach Clint Hurt talk about the defense potentially using a 3-4 scheme. You know, how do you feel that fits in what Seattle wants to do defensively?
Well, they're still going to be a 4-3, but they're going to mix in some 3-4 stuff as long as the defensive ends don't have to drop back in coverage. That was a mistake that Ken Norton Jr. made, and that's not a mistake that Clint Hurt is going to make. He's not going to take his group of defensive linemen and drop them back into coverage. So you can forget about that option. But again, I think that's why, I still think that they do need Bobby Wagner because they don't have 4 linebackers right now.
Mm. Yeah, that seemed to be the one certainty I took away from some general statements from Clint Hurt. Mm-hmm. You remember, Clayton, he talked about getting text messages from players talking about, okay, so I'm not dropping into coverage, right? And just without throwing Ken Norton under the bus, he seemed to make it clear, like, yeah, that's not what we're going to be doing.
No, it's like, and they shouldn't. And so, I like what, you know, Clint's doing and Sean Desai coming on the staff. And, you know, they got Carl Scott with the secondary. No, I like what they've done on defense.
Hey, John, there were some rumblings. I don't know if you heard this or not, but, you know, obviously we know Tom Brady's retired now. He's doing some other things. But it sounded like he was a little bit disappointed in the direction and some of the ways that the program was running over there in Tampa Bay. Is that, were you hearing some of the same things?
Well, he likes Byron Leftwich, but some people speculate that he was having problems with Bruce Arians, and then Arians came out and categorically denied that there was any real friction. But hey, you know, Tom has retired. He's now making a movie. He's going to act in a movie. Okay. All those different things. So it's like, you know, but
would you ever act in a movie, John?
Yeah, I was in one with The Rock.
Okay, which one was that?
Huh? Game Plan.
That's right. You were in that.
Yeah.
Okay, John, the actor.
Yeah, I know.
One of the great thespians of all time.
Wow. I never knew you to be so versatile.
Yeah, well, you got to be.
I like it. I like it.
John, we appreciate it. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
All right, sounds good.
All right, John.
There you go. If you missed any of today's cold, hard facts brought to you by Coors Light, made to chill, download the podcast at 710sports.com.
I forgot all about John being in The Game Plan.
I never saw that movie. Was it good?
Yeah, it's a good movie. It's, you know, it's you know, The Rock, he's got his daughter, whatever. He saves the day. Like
he saves the day. You know, it's The Rock. He saves the day.
Just like any other movie. You know?
Just right in a nutshell, right there. He's a big burly guy. He beats some people up. He saves the day.
Right.
It's great.
That's it.
And then Clayton was in there somewhere. Okay.
All right.
Our thanks to John Clayton. Coming up, there is one free agent we haven't talked about much, but he might actually be the best fit for this Mariners team. We'll talk about it next with Wyman and Bob. Robert Turbin in today on 710 ESPN Seattle.